That's when you pray. Oh, that's righteous. And this before laughter.
You know, I just read that this morning.
It's righteous, isn't it?
Yeah. He will finish the good work that he has started.
Good morning, everybody. Where are we going today in God's Word? Very close. We sang quite a few songs this morning about our King. And so we're going to Our King is Coming. Because this is the season that we celebrate our Savior's birth. And so I'm going to go a little bit back into biblical days. And in that time frame, when a particular king of an area was moving to go somewhere else, he sent out before him what they called footmen. And this was a group of people that would announce his coming. So that if he was coming to your town, they would go to your town before he got there and tell you, your king's coming. And then you would get ready and you would prepare. When Absalom and Adonijah was trying to overthrow the reign of King David, Absalom's father and his own sons trying to overthrow him, they both put 50 men in front of them. And these men ran before them and said, King Absalom's coming. Okay. That's pretty prideful, I think. But anyway, our Lord Jesus did the same thing. He brought one. He brought a forerunner of one to announce his coming. Yeah, that was John the Baptist. We're going to look a little bit about that. And why did he only pick one and not 50? He's God. Well, because this coming, the first coming, he came in humility. Now, he will come again in his glory, and he's going to bring all the army of the saints with him. A whole lot more than 50. But anyway, our message today begins in the book of Isaiah. We're going to read a little bit there, and then we're going to bounce around somewhere else. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 40. Bear with me with verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In your scripture reading, you remember when King Solomon was getting ready to build the temple? What did he do? He prepared to build the temple. He didn't immediately grab a stone and lay it in the dirt. He prepared. And the more preparation that we do, the better the end result. Talk to a builder. The more he prepares for the construction that he's doing, pretty much the building comes out better. If you just start banging nails, or let's pour concrete and it's not the right size, the building doesn't fit. Isaiah here in our scripture is speaking for the Lord's messenger. And the idea is that the Lord's coming. And all the people have to prepare themselves for their king's arrival. And the scripture says, whatever's wrong in the road, if it's a low spot, fill it up. Make it flat. If it's a high spot, cut it down. Make that road straight. Make it flat so that our king doesn't have to move left and right and down and up and stumble and trip. He can go straight to your heart. Now, it's a word picture for us, guys. Everything in our life is not perfect right now. Preparation has to be made. Has to be made in our hearts. There's things that I have to fix so that when the Lord comes, he can come straight to my heart and he's not deflected away by those imperfections. And we all have different issues. But God wants a straight path. He wants to go right into your heart. He doesn't want any obstacles in that way. So he sends a John the Baptist, figuratively speaking, to each one of us. We hear the voice crying, prepare the way of the Lord. And when that way is prepared, then the glory of God shall be revealed. His glory is revealed to the hearts that have prepared for him. Doesn't matter what nationality you are, doesn't matter if you're big or short or small or doesn't matter. It's not revealed only to Baptist people or Catholic people or Presbyterian people. Did you see what the scripture said? It said, all flesh shall see it together. That's everybody. And it will happen because God spoke it. Now, pretty much by now you've already figured it out. Today's scripture is all about preparing, getting ready to behold our God. Now, maybe a friend has talked to you recently, and you never even heard anything about the word of the Lord, and he spoke to you recently. Or maybe it was a family member. I have a couple of those I've been spearheading for a while now. Maybe it was a preacher on the radio. You turned it on. And where'd that station come from? Whatever it was, it came from God. Didn't come from that person that spoke to you. Didn't come from that radio. It came from God. He sent that John the Baptist message, prepare the way of the Lord. Now we're going to move over to the Gospel of Luke. John, Mark, and in the middle is Luke. Luke was a companion of Paul. In fact, Paul called Luke the beloved physician. And if you've read scripture, or if you've read even some off writings like Josephus or others, you will see every indication points that Luke was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. In fact, he is the only writer in the New Testament that was a Gentile. That makes him unique. And we're all unique. And he begins writing in Luke chapter 1, jumping down to verse 5. There was in the days of Herod. Then he says, in case you don't know it, that's the king of Judea. A certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. We're going to pause there. What Luke is writing about transpired during the days of Herod. He was a paranoid, very cruel king. And he was not a descendant of Israel. He was not a Jew. He was an Edomite. And that's where the story of a very important child begins. In the days of Herod the king. There's a scripture in Genesis 49:10. Jacob says a prophecy when blessing his children. The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh, the Messiah, comes. With Herod, king, the scepter was taken from the house of David. And so they should have known by that prophecy that their Messiah was here. He was a baby. He was born. He was here. The prophecy was fulfilled. The father of John the Baptist, he was a priest. He was a descendant of Aaron, the high priest, Zacharias. Zacharias means remembered of Jehovah. So God remembered Zacharias. There was no honor so great as the families of Aaron and David. Aaron the priesthood, David the kingship. And during the reign of David, the priests multiplied so much, the house of Aaron, that David had to divide things up a bit because there was just too many priests to all come to the temple all at once and perform the work of the Lord. And he broke it up into 24 courses. And everybody had a time frame in which their family would minister in the temple. And it says that Zacharias was the 8th course. His wife, Elizabeth, she also was from the family of Aaron. Elizabeth means God is my oath. And it says they were very religious. It says they were very old, but they were both righteous before God. They gave of themselves, and God was pleased. Isn't it such a glorious thing when two people come together in a marriage, a man and a woman, and they're joined not only to each other, but they're joined to the Lord? Which is why Paul says, don't be unequally yoked. Because you can't be both joined to God if you're not of the same mind. And for ministers of the Lord, it's especially important that the two be joined to the Lord because they set an example for the sheep. And that's why it's mentioned here that Zacharias and Elizabeth were together righteous before God. They not only talked the talk about it, they walked the walk. Their life showed it. Now, don't be misled. They were not sinless. It's not what Scripture says. They were blameless. Blameless means that nobody could point the finger at them and charge them with some open, scandalous sin, because they lived honestly. Verse 7 tells us of the same, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. Now, we know what children are, because in Psalm 127 it says, children are a heritage of the Lord. And Psalm 127 goes on and says that children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. And happy or blessed is the man who has a quiver full of them. I know people that have full quivers. But there's so many in the married state that are yet denied that heritage. And Elizabeth was one of them. And now she's old. And I'm sure she's thinking she'll never have any children. But then, as I read that, I'm reminded in Genesis 18, 14, which is one of my life verses. If you're familiar with that, Abraham is entertaining the Lord before the Lord goes to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. And he says, oh, by the way, Abraham, your wife's going to have a son next year at this time. And what happens? Elizabeth is in the tent listening. Not Elizabeth. Sarah. Sarai. And she overhears this and she laughs. And she laughs, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? And my Lord being old also? And if you read that, you notice God did not answer Sarah when she laughed. He directs his answer to Abraham. And he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I believe that, because I could give you testimony about things that I thought were too hard for the Lord. But let's go back to Luke, verse 8. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, remember, 8, according to the custom of his priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. All these years, Zacharias had no children. He never received what all Jewish men want, a son, a son. It didn't stop him from performing his duties as priest. And maybe some of us today have not received the blessing that we desired most in life. And maybe we feel deprived a little bit, or shortchanged from our status or our position, or the size of our family. Or maybe we're still single and we haven't found anybody. We must still be faithfully performing the services that God has set before us, and set that disappointment of human side aside. And maybe during our attendance to the job God wants us to do, we will find mercy and comfort will come to us at last. Zacharias was employed in the service of God. Every Christian today is employed in the service of God. And when we perform our services as our number one priority, God will take care of our number two priority. It was in the course of his division as serving a priest that God answered his prayer. It had been 400 years since God spoke to Israel. Silent. The prophet Zechariah was the last person in the Old Testament to hear from God. And now, Zacharias, the priest, is the first in the New Testament to hear. It fell to his lot to burn incense. That was the most important task of the temple. It gave the priest the right to enter into the holy place and burn incense before the Lord. All the priests wanted to do that job. But remember now, there were like 20,000 priests at this time. And so they had to draw lots. Who's going to do what? And it may only fall on one priest once in his whole life that he would be selected to burn the incense in the holy place. Do you think that what you are called to do for God is unimportant? Because some priests might say, I got picked to clean up after again. All that blood and stuff. And sometimes we think, I don't have an important task at all. I'm not famous. I wanted to be a big country western singer, didn't have the voice for it. But if we do everything unto God, He is blessed. I don't care whether you're the one that cuts this grass in front of the Lord's house. Maybe you're the one that cleans up the chapel. I mean, somebody's got to sweep the floor, vacuum, clean the toilets. And you may be thinking, oh, that's such a demeaning task. Maybe you play the piano and you don't think you're very good at it. Maybe all you do is pray for the saints. And it's done quietly and nobody knows it. All that stuff is seen by the Lord. And all that is important to Him. And that's what He said to Zacharias. And while he's in there offering the incense, it says the whole multitude of people was outside at that hour praying for that one person inside. Hundreds of worshipers showed up before dawn, gathered at the temple. And when the incense priest, that was the important one of that particular day, walked toward the temple through the outer court, they struck this great big gong-type symbol. Bong. It was called a magrapha. And as soon as that sounded, all the Levites got together, and like I lead you in song in the morning, that's what they did. They led these people in songs of worship. And then the incense priest would be held up on each side of them by two other chosen priests. And they would walk up to the temple because it was steps, and only the incense priest would go in. And he'd be left there alone. And in front of Zacharias is the altar of incense. And behind was a huge, thick curtain, top to bottom, wall to wall. Behind that curtain was the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest was the only one that could go in there once a year. Day of Atonement. But on his right, he looked, and there was the table of showbread. And then on his left was the golden lampstand. And that's the only thing that provided light in that room. Okay, that's the stage. Pictured in your mind. Zacharias, all alone. Nobody else. If you close your eyes, you're all alone here, right now, today. You're praying. It's quiet. There's no distractions. That's the place every one of us has to come to in our walk with God. We have to be alone. We have to be in that holy place. We have to be concentrating on nothing but Him. Not what I'm going to do after I leave here. Not what happened to my well pump yesterday. Only Him, praying, worshiping, seeking to see His face. And when we get to that place, maybe, just maybe, He will reveal Himself to us. And that's what happened to Zacharias. It says, and then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And you can imagine, when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Everybody was outside praying while Zacharias was inside. And prayer, that is the principal part of any worship service. And that's how we give honor to God. That's how we make our requests known to God. That's how we keep up our communion with Him, our fellowship with Him. You see, it's not good enough just to be where God is being worshipped if your mind is a million miles apart. If your hearts don't join in the worship, then you've missed out on the blessing. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord. Now, if you're familiar with Scripture, it says we are surrounded by angels whom God employs to watch over us. Read that Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. So God not only sends us angels to watch us, but to protect us and deliver us from the dangers of the evil one. Now, we don't see him as a general rule. They're there. Read 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha and Gehazi, his servant. They're in the city of Dothan. There was this evil king that didn't like his ambushes being foiled all the time. He would set up an ambush over here, and Elisha would say, don't go there. They're waiting for you. So he would set it up over there, and Elisha would say, don't go over there either. They're waiting for you. So the king thought he had a spy in his camp. And one of his servants says, there's no spy here. It's Elisha, the prophet. He knows what you say in your bedroom. And so he sent an army over to Dothan to kill him. Gehazi gets up in the morning and sees the army, and he's petrified. And Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. And for that time frame, he saw the angels and the chariots of fire all around. We have angels and chariots of fire all around this chapel. All around your home, your Christian home, they're there. They're protecting you. They're watching you. Pray that the Lord open your eyes so that you can see. And when did the angel appear to Zacharias? It appeared when he was doing God's will. It appeared while he was praying. That's why prayer is so important. It's then when we are closest to God is when we're praying. And it's then when the angel appeared to Zacharias. Now, I don't know what you have a view of angels. This was not a cute little cupid-looking angel. We're told it was Gabriel. The messenger of God. I bet he filled that whole room. And that's why Zacharias was afraid. And that's why he said, don't be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer's heard. Your wife Elizabeth will have a son. Call him John. And 14 says, you will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. Your prayer is heard. And I know, maybe you're thinking, what prayer? Zacharias was probably thinking that. What prayer, Lord? I pray so many. And maybe him and his wife had given up on praying for a child. And maybe you've given up on the petition that you've been praying for. And sometimes we pray for so long, long, long time. And after years of heartfelt prayer, we just give up out of discouragement. And I say, don't give up. And maybe this is where Zacharias and Elizabeth were. God hears our prayer. Psalm 34 goes on and says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. But it's in his time that he answers. And this was the time for Zacharias. He says, your son John will be filled with the Holy Spirit even while it is in Elizabeth's womb. And he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. And we too can be filled with the Spirit. All we need to do is ask, it says in Luke 11. Every one of us can be a John the Baptist. We can all be forerunners for Christ. John proclaimed the first coming. We proclaim the second coming. How do we do it? By sharing the good news. Tell everybody, Jesus has already, he came to earth. He died for you and me so that we have eternal life. And he's coming back again. And Satan sets this trap. And he set this trap for Zacharias, and he fell for it. It's called doubt. Zacharias said to the angel, "How can I know this? I'm an old man. And my wife is old." Don't say that about your wife. But he says, "My wife's old." And that's when the angel said, "You know who I am, Zacharias? I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. And because you don't believe me, you're going to be dumb. You won't be able to speak until the child is born." If Satan can get us to question God, then he has already won. That's what he did to Eve in the garden. "Has God indeed said that you shall not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden?" We will rob ourselves of many a miracle by doubting. And Zacharias paid the price. He had such great news to share, but he couldn't talk. We all have great news to share. But if we doubt God's word, if we don't believe he will do what he has promised to do, how can we speak the good news? Let's all pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, right now, we pray that you send the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us, Lord, empowering us to be bold in witnessing for Christ, to be relentless, to go where you send us, and to say what you tell us to say. May everyone know that our Lord and Savior is being born this month, and that he's coming in to take us all home. If we're weak, strengthen us. If we have little faith, give us much faith. If we're timid, make us bold. Make us a warrior for you, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.